believe he has firm control of the franchise. I do believe that, and you could argue that he deserves it.
Buccaneers fans, it is that time again for the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the Custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. Talking Bucks with me, Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan, Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. If you're just joining the podcast for the first time, where have you been? We're working on 6 years almost of this stuff, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. Ring in the new year, Ira, with a new Ford. That's what you did, but everybody else can still do that. 0% APR for 60 months on a lot of vehicles, plus up to $1,500 available in bonus cash. It's all at BillCurryFord.com. Those offers right now that you see there are only good through January 31st, but that gives you a full long weekend to shop with Bill Curry Ford. GM Sean Sullivan is ready to assist you immediately by phone, in person, email. You can find his email right there at BillCurryFord.com. New and used vehicles, nationwide lifetime warranty. Bill Curry Ford, nobody does it better. And we appreciate Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Maybe it's the Palm Bender IPA. Maybe it's the Bromosa. You can shop for Big Storm in Publix or at their tap rooms, bigstormbrewery.com. Great food. And they have hard liquor available at the tap rooms, Ira, even their own Big Storm brands. And after last Sunday's loss, I know a lot of people are still leaning in that hard liquor direction, especially in this cold weather. You know, maybe you're not up for a sunny key lime. Maybe you want some Big Storm whiskey. They've got that too. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, the number one restoration company in the Tampa Bay area, family owned, but not too small where they can't service the whole Bay Area. Owner Josh Martin has 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. So when you have that disaster in your home, you're calling a company that's going to give you not only a free assessment, but a deep understanding of how to not get ripped off by your insurance company. And they do great work. Property managers, air conditioning companies, plumbers, they'll work with you too. Reach out to Josh and find out how he services customers and clients honestly and can work with you to make sure that service is available to your customers. Ira, there's been a lot going on with the Bucks. The Tom Brady winds are blowing. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a thought. Some people think he's gone. Some people think he's in. I'll throw one thing at you just because it's a little weird and it was couched as a source. So here we go. Ira, Brady Quinn, CBS Sports, he said he was talking to people in the organization who felt like something weird's going on because there were people at the Bucks game that wouldn't normally be there for a Brady game. I don't know what that means, but sort of there was a vibe that, hey, there's a lot of people here, maybe invited his old math teacher or something, I don't know. And then maybe that was a sign that Brady's heading out. But also, Quinn said at the same time, there's a feeling in the organization that Brady is the kind of guy who, when he made this contract extension commitment and committed to next season, that he holds those commitments very, very dear, and he's not the kind of guy who's going to say, I don't feel like it. So where do you stand on any of those and your own opinion, Sage?
It's a very complicated situation. Lee, I'm of the opinion that the Glazers are driving this train right now when it comes to a quarterback and when it comes to the glamour of this franchise. I think they've been intoxicated, and there's nothing wrong with that, Lee, by the past 2 years. How could you not be? After all the years of anonymity and irrelevance. Now, they made money, even during those, you know, playoff drought years. The franchise makes money, so that's not the point. But, you know, things like going to the owners' meetings after another, you know, 5-11 season, you're irrelevant, you're not in the mix. So, Lee, these last 2 years have been a revelation for ownership. And I think right now they're all in on this Brady decision. They're all over light. What's your plan B? What is the plan B here if it happens? If Brady decides enough is enough. Lee, you can't come late to the party and be blindsided, you know, on March 5th. That, you know, that can't happen. Shame on the organization. So, Lee, I'm convinced that there are things going on in the back channels maybe you assume, for argument's sake, that Brady's not coming back. If he comes back, he comes back. No questions asked. We move on with Brady. But, Lee, you don't want to get caught flat-footed. So I think Light and Arians, as a tandem, are actively looking at their options, talking to people. You know, people talk to agents all the time, Lee, all the time. There's a lot of chatter going on. And the idea is we gotta replace Brady, if it happens, with a veteran. I think that's the way they have to go. Otherwise, I think you're going to lose Arians. You might lose some of your potential in-house free agents like Godwin and Fournette. So, Lee, my point is the Bucs have to be forward-looking at this time. They're unsure about Brady's intentions unless they know things that we don't know, Lee. And I think when you're like that with a team that's ready to win and you're not in a rebuilding phase, you got to be proactive. Lee, you like that word. So I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes right now in terms of, hey, who can we get if Brady departs? I think that's an ongoing issue right now going on at One Buck Place.
I sure would hope they didn't decide to be proactive last week. Should have been 2 years ago. To get a 43-year-old quarterback at the time, or was he 42? Yeah, he's 43. I surely hope that getting a 43-year-old quarterback, you weren't like, okay, we're set for the next 5 years. I mean, I hope they had a plan B ready to go at that point. If not, shame on everybody in the Bucs organization, from the Glazers on down. That's irresponsible. So I read your column the other day. You made a lot of good points. I would say Derek Carr is a top-shelf quarterback. You kind of poo-pooed him along with Kirk Cousins. I think Carr is a top-shelf quarterback. I would be very happy with Derek Carr. But Steve and I argued at the time the Glazers or the Bucs should have drafted Derek Carr when he was available in the second round. But learned people thought Austin Seferian Jackson was a better upgrade. Okay. I'm a big Derek Carr guy. And, you know, the Bucs have been relevant before Brady. They haven't been top-shelf. They've been relevant. I know people like you, Ira, just hate to admit it. But Jameis gave the Bucs some relevancy. Irrelevancy was Josh McCown. Irrelevancy was Lovie Smith. Irrelevancy was Greg Schiano and Mike Glennon. That was irrelevancy. And really, just thinking about it, I need to go find a counselor.
But, Lee, relevancy comes with winning.
I said that. They were relevant. They weren't winning. With Brady, they were winning and they were top shelf relevant.
I'm not down on Derek Carr, Steve. Look, he's no Brady. Who is? But he's a tough son of a gun. He's very competitive. He's very durable. Is he a top 12 quarterback in the league? Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I kind of like him better than Cousins, Steve. I do.
Oh, yeah. I'd say he's top. Well, if you don't include Brady, I'd put Derek Carr top 7, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go top 7, but he's definitely in the top third. I would put him in the top third. A big part of that, Sage, is the durability. I mean, he shows up, and he's a quality quarterback. He's done it in different systems, 3-time Pro Bowler. You can't just look at Derek Carr and say you can't win with that guy. In some ways, he's kind of like Matt Stafford, just doesn't have the playoff experience. You know, we'll see if Stafford can continue his run here without much playoff experience. But the interesting thing about Carr, Ira, 1 year left on his contract, $19.8 million. So it wouldn't take much to trade for him if the Raiders just want to go in a completely different direction. And I would think the Raiders would want to trade him out of the conference. And obviously, Carr would instantly be the best quarterback, in my opinion, in the NFC South. So that's a nice situation. But Ira, we're also dealing with, let's stick with the Brady thing. You've got Michael Irvin pounding the table at ESPN. He's hammering the ESPN studio table. And Irvin's unique because he actually works for NFL Network and ESPN. There's not a lot of guys who do both. So he's making all kinds of money. And Irvin thinks that this is what Brady wanted. He wanted to come to a team where eventually he could settle in after he first arrived and have a lot of control. And now Brady gets to be general manager that he can walk into and say, look, we need to keep this guy, this guy, this guy. We got to go this direction. I've been talking to this guy. You know, it's not the first year and we won it all and we just brought everybody back. But now we got to maneuver and, you know, this is what I want to do. And he's got all the leverage and this is what he really wanted because nobody listened to him in New England. Do you believe any of that?
I believe he has firm control of the franchise. I do believe that. And you could argue that he deserves it. But, Lee, I don't think ultimately that's going to decide Brady's fate. I think it is a family decision. And if it is, Lee, there's not much that Jason Light and Arians can do about it because it's kind of unrelated to the roster.
Or the Glazers, for that matter.
Or the Glazers. Lee, if it's something that can be done by the franchise, hey, go get me this free agent, re-sign Godwin, bring Fournette back, I want another target. Lee, they're going to do it. But the family thing's out of their control. So I think ultimately what Irvin said is true in terms of the clout that Brady has. But I really don't think that would be the deciding factor, Lee, in his decision.
I'm going to throw a couple things at you, Ira, along Brady lines. The first one is, it's not consensus by any means, but there's rumbling in the national media that one reason Brady may want out, the Super Bowl window is closed for the Bucks. I don't buy that for a second. They can bring Godwin back. They can bring Fournette back. Ryan Jensen, I think they could franchise him. It's not like the team would crumble. I don't see the Super Bowl win. You know, it won't be as wide open as what it was earlier this year or last year, but I don't think they're automatically out of contention because they might lose a couple free agents. I don't see that. Am I way off base, Ira?
Who is suggesting that, Lee? Who's suggesting?
Oh, my, Adam Schein for one. There's a couple of national guys. The window's over. No wonder Brady wants to leave.
No, I think that's utter nonsense. If Brady comes back, I would be surprised if Gronkowski does not come back. If Brady does.
Yeah, agreed.
Godwin might not be ready week one, but he'll come back at some point, middle of the season. Lee, the division is in shambles. It's in shambles. If Brady comes back, the Bucs are going to be prohibitive favorites in the NFC South. Prohibitive. So that gets
When's
you
the
halfway.
When's the last time you said that?
I know. I think that's crazy. Now, look, Steve, they're an older team. They got some age in spots. But Mike Evans is in his prime. Offensive line's intact. If they lose Jensen, Steve, it's not going to all fall apart. It's not. They'll get work back. I absolutely reject that. And I want to throw something out at you guys.
Well, Ira, I want to join you in the rejection just for a second.
Go ahead, Steve.
Any suggestion of that is not just ludicrous. It's just stupid and uninformed. There's really no other way to say it. If Brady comes back, he's coming back to the team that scored the second most points in the league in the regular season and had the most yards. So, yes, they lost Antonio Brown, who didn't play a lot of games, and there's the Godwin thing, but with the O-line intact and playoff Lenny coming back in his prime, just turned 27. Last year, remember, the Buccaneers didn't draft for impact players. They didn't do that. That wasn't the goal. This year, they can actually add a powerful piece or two on offense and jack that thing back up. You don't want to rely on rookies, but you could get a top-shelf rookie receiver, plug him in as a number three or a stud tight end to play with Gronk, and you could really be back with the number two or three ranked offense, and that much offense can win you a ton of games.
I'm with you, Steve, and I go back to the South, which used to be a really tough division, and it's in total disarray now. Lee, here's what I wanted to throw up at you. And I think, you know, when a season ends so dramatically and there's a lot of disappointment, people tend to overreact, Lee.
Yeah.
One of the overreactions is that, you know, if Brady comes back, the Bucs are not serious contenders. That's hogwash. Lee, Lavonte David used a word, I believe it was after the game, Lee, and people are trying to jump on this. He used the word turmoil. People bumping heads, and it has led some people to say there's some serious problems behind the walls of One Buck Place. I don't think Lavonte David meant that in terms of chemistry and fractures within the team. I think he was referring to Antonio Brown situation and a flurry of injuries that hit this team after the midpoint of the season. So, Lee, this word turmoil, I think Levante David could have used a different word. But people are jumping all over that, and I think they're going way overboard on that.
I tend to agree with you, Ira. The only reason I'm 90% with you, not 100% with you, is there's always stuff that happens within an organization, a building, a locker room, that we don't hear about for maybe 10 years. You know, someone goes on a radio show like, hey, I remember this. And the perfect example is Kellen Winslow and his started habits on plane trips. He liked to be by himself. I'll leave it at that.
I understand.
Shady McCoy just said something recently. There's some show, was it called iAthlete or something like that? My dad would be going nuts because of the bad grammar there. But Shady McCoy was talking with Chad Johnson and Brandon Marshall, and he was talking about before the Lions game last year. You know, Leftwich went into the offensive meeting, and he said, okay, who's got incentives? I need to know who's got incentives. I want to make sure you guys get paid. And Shady McCoy was saying he never heard of a coach doing that before. And he said Arians was totally on board with it. And, you know, it's stuff like that that you don't hear until months later, sometimes years later. So maybe Levante David was talking about something, real turmoil. But I tend to agree with you, Ira. I think he misused the word. Because it's hard for me to believe that the very same team that won the Super Bowl the previous year in less than 12 months had melted down chemistry-wise, outside of Antonio Brown, and he was out of the picture the last few weeks of the season.
I don't see the Bucs as being in disarray. I think they just lost to a better team last week.
Well, look how much Gronkowski's been talking about, and Leonard Fournette, about how close-knit the team is. Yeah. You know, Fournette said that many times. Gronkowski several times has said that. Just on Instagram last night, Camille put up a picture of a bunch of offensive players and their wags out to dinner in South Tampa, and it was like a reunion of some sort, it seemed like. And they were, you know, like, oh, man, the season's over. This stinks. I don't get the impression, with the exception of Antonio Brown, that the locker room was in disarray.
Sage, a little bit of insider stuff here that I'm going to share on the podcast. Not sure I shared it with Lee. It's been a little while. It wasn't, you know how it goes, Sage. You get some information, you can't put it out there right away. Then the stink follows, the stink spreads a little bit. But I think what Levante David is talking about is very, very, very much tied to Antonio Brown for one main reason. What gets overlooked a little bit, from what I was told, is that Levante David is from Miami, just like Antonio Brown. Same neighborhood. Antonio Brown's father helped Levante David get into junior college. They have a long history. And the guy at One Buck, who was a sounding board for all of Antonio Brown's nonsense and his freak out, was Levante David. That was his guy, and as a leader of the team, and Brown felt he could say things to Levante and share his level of turmoil that he maybe couldn't share otherwise. And I think that painted a little bit different light for David, who kind of knew how bad things were, along with a few other people. And obviously, if there was a shakedown going on at One Buck with the sex tape broker and the chef and all that stuff, I think Levante David was very much referring to that because he was very much a part of it because of his deeper connection with Brown than it appeared.
That's very interesting, Steve. Maybe Levante David felt personally let down by Brown's antics, and perhaps Tom Brady also felt personally let down because, Lee, it's a fact that Brady vouched for Brown. Mm-hmm. And without Brady in the fall of 2020, Brown's not a Buccaneer. Lee, we all know that. There's no secret about that. Brown wasn't going to be a Buccaneer.
No.
So then when the guy, you know, does what he does, and in the words of Lee DeKemper, quits on his teammates. That's got to have an effect. But, Lee, I really don't think that's not the reason that they couldn't stop Cooper Kupp.
No.
And that's not the reason Brady was under a lot of pressure. That was a bad matchup for the Bucs. Lee, we said it. If they played Arizona, I think the Bucs would have beat them, and they'd still be alive going into this week's game. So that's what happened. But the Bucs are not going to revert to a 6-11 team with Brady under center. That's not going to happen, Lee.
I agree with you. Here's something else for you, Ira. I'm going to toss this your way. You touched upon it, I believe, in your column. Not that I believe, I read the column. Michael Lombardi on his podcast, he thinks this organization, I guess you could say, could be an absolute house of cards. If Brady goes and left, which, you know, it looks like he may get a job in Jacksonville, we'll see, but that's been the chatter for a week, and he's yet to have the job. But Leftwich may go to Jacksonville. Who knows about Bowles? He's interviewing with everybody. If Bowles, Leftwich, and Brady leaves, to prevent Arians from looking at the roster and like, do I really want to go to battle with Kyle Trask as my quarterback? And he may just say the hell with it. I know he said he's coming back, but when he said he was coming back, he had his staff intact. He had Brady as his quarterback. If all those pieces leave, and who knows how many guys from the coaching staff will get cherry-picked to go elsewhere with Leftwich, with Bowles perhaps, would Arians just say, I'm done, and just head back to his lake house in Georgia and play golf with every day with his next-door neighbor Ben Roethlisberger? And remember, Arians has always said, along with his health, what would chase him away from coaching would be if he loses too many people on his staff and he'd have to coach up the coaches again. He didn't want to go through that again.
Steve, it could happen. Now, it would be very awkward. Steve, it would be very awkward for, Arians to step down in April. And, Steve, one more thing about this door number two with the quarterback. Now, of course, we're all predicating this on Brady leaving. So maybe it's 50-50. Maybe it's somewhere around there. The Bucs won't be the only team that's looking for a quarterback in the offseason. And I'm talking about some of these veterans that you would have to trade for. They're under contract, Steve. Russell Wilson, under contract. Aaron Rodgers is under contract, Steve. You don't just walk in and grab the guy. And you're not going to be the only bidder. So, Steve, it's not going to be that easy to get a veteran. Derek Carr's under contract. So is Cousins. And he's got a big cap number.
Wait a minute, Sage.
Steve, this draft is bereft of quarterbacks. That makes it even worse.
Look, I don't think you could say a guy like Derek Carr is going to be hard to get. And I'll tell you why. Either he's on the market or he's not. If the new coach there doesn't want Derek Carr, wants to start fresh, then he's going to be available. And that's it. The Bucs have plenty of ammo to do this. If Byron Leftwich gets the job in Jacksonville, the Bucs will be given, through this new rule, as a minority coordinator getting a job somewhere else as a head coach, they'll get 2 third-round draft picks, one in 2021, one in 2022. Go back to your days with the Chiefs, Ira. Alex Smith in his prime was bought for what? Second rounder and a third rounder? I think Derek Carr, with 1 year left on his deal, could probably be had for 2 third-round picks, which is not going to be any problem for the Bucs if that goes down. Or, you know, maybe they mortgage a late second rounder and grab Derek Carr for a year and give it a shot. I just don't think it'll be that hard to get the quarterbacks that are available. We talked last podcast about Teddy Bridgewater, that Arians might have a thing for him. Yeah, we'll see. Well, I don't know. I can't accept the fact that Brady's out of here yet. What's interesting about Brady, Ira, is that his podcast, the Let's Go podcast that he does on Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio, where you are a star every week, but not this week, or next week, rather, not next week. Brady is committed to that podcast through the Super Bowl. So we're going to have a whole new round of speculation on Monday night after he sits there and talks about what he had for breakfast and what he thinks and all this. And if he hasn't decided yet, and I'm not convinced that it's not just all orchestrated, but if he hasn't decided yet, do you believe, Ira, the longer it goes, that the longer his teammates eventually reach out and say, Tom, I can't sleep, you got to come back. Tom, we're going to kick ass. Hey, Tom, it's me, Lenny. Come on, man. What the hell's going on? Or, who knows that the pressure will mount from teammates, guys who want to play with him, even coaches saying, don't do this, Tom. I think I could see how people would be quiet for a week or so, but then I think these guys won't be able to control themselves. He's got a lot of people who want him back.
I think that's a fair point, Steve. Lee, in some sense, I think the longer that it goes where we don't hear a firm decision, I think that kind of favors him coming back. I do. I don't think he's the type of guy that would leave the Bucs in the lurch. Lee, I think he's too professional. Some people say, well, Brady doesn't owe the Bucks anything. He's a consummate professional. He's a class act to the ultimate degree, the ultimate teammate. The Bucks have been good to Brady. He's gotten everything he's wanted. I don't think he would hang the Bucks out to dry. I really don't. I think he would tell them before free agency, before the draft. He's not going to stretch this thing out. And, you know, Lee, the one thing, we're so wrapped up in Brady and door number two and this and that. Lee, you know what's so easy to forget? And, of course, they won the Super Bowl, so all bets are off in that regard. But, Lee, they've still never drafted a guy and gave that quarterback a second contract. It's never happened, Lee.
Yeah.
Could it happen with Kyle Trask? Well, we don't know. I mean, that's a stretch right now. But, Lee, when you think about it, this franchise, 45 years, they've never given a second contract to a quarterback that they drafted? I mean, it's mind-boggling, Lee. Mind-boggling.
It really is. It really is. Part of that is just sheer ineptitude by previous ownership. But, you know, speaking of Trask, Ira, I think Michael Lombardi listens to your podcast. And this is why. He's pretty convinced that Bruce Arians does not want to go to battle with Kyle Trask. He doesn't want to end
same
coaching
thing,
years with Kyle Trask.
Yep, yep. I was thinking he's reading my columns and listening to our podcast, Lee. I was.
Yeah, Ira.
It's very interesting. He believes that this could be a house of cards starting with Brady.
Well, actually, Ira said that on his last podcast, did a whole segment on Bruce Arians is out of here. If he's got to coach Kyle Trask. So Lombardi's thieving again. Did a whole segment last podcast.
Absolutely, Stevie.
All right, Ira, look, on the football front, Dave Moore, your former tight end for the Bucks, radio analyst guy, X's and O's guru, he came out and said, one of the few guys who was in support of Todd Bowles blitzing on that last play, basically, and in classic Dave Moore fashion, being a straight shooter, even though he works for the Bucks, when it comes to X's and O's, he calls it straight. He said, look, they've been so bad in zone coverage all year that, I'm not against it. They've been so bad in zone, and that's what was called for there, zone type of coverage, that they just stink at it, and they got to work on it.
You know, I think Dave Moore, Lee, I think he's kind of a jewel. He's kind of an unsung jewel. The three of us have heard him on Buck broadcasts. The guy is good, Lee. He's good, really good. He keeps his comments short, to the point. He's not a Buck rah-rah guy. I also read his comments, like Steve did. Lee, I found them very refreshing. Who else has said that the Bucks have sucked on zone coverage this year? Dave Moore's played this game for a long time. He knows his stuff. I said for a long time, when the Buck pass rush was neutralized in those kind of games, they were exposed. And I don't think it's all because Sean Murphy bunting might have missed a game or two, or Jamel Dean. I think it goes beyond that, Lee. I'm not sure they're good enough when healthy. And somebody'd say, well, they won the Super Bowl. Look what they did to Mahomes. Bunting didn't do it to Mahomes, Lee. You were there for that game like I was.
Mm-hmm.
That was Shaq Barrett and JPP and Vita Vea and Mahomes running for his life. Didn't matter if Tyreek Hill was open or not. He wasn't going to get him the ball. So let's be very honest here. The Bucs secondary needs some help, Lee. They don't have enough ball hawks. They don't.
I'm torn on this subject. I don't disagree with everything you're saying, but I'm torn on this. And I was just talking with someone this morning. You guys, gentlemen, was going off on the secondary. They got to draft a cornerback. They got to draft a cornerback high, you know, like first or second round. And, of course, people on showbucksman.com, the commenters, are saying, how can you say they don't need a cornerback? Well, I didn't say they didn't. But are we overreacting? This was a defensive back unit and a cornerback unit that won the Super Bowl. You cannot win a Super Bowl with a lousy secondary. You cannot, period. You cannot. Not in this league. You just cannot do it. It wasn't just the Super Bowl they won. They went through a gauntlet. They went through Brees. They went through Rodgers. They went through Mahomes. No one was bellyaching about Sean Murphy bunting after they beat the Packers last year. He may have had the play of the year. He set up Scotty Miller's touchdown that basically won the game for the Bucs. Without that pick, I don't know the Bucs win that game. And all of a sudden, these guys are hurt all year long. And now it's like, oh, my gosh, you guys are horrible. These, oh my, they're awful. They're terrible. Are we really jumping the gun? Are we having a short memory here? I'm not saying these guys are all Hall of Famers, but I don't know if I can go there and say they're, you know, Lovie Smith kind of quarterbacks where they were getting lit up day in and day out. And when they left the Bucs, they couldn't find another job.
Interestingly, interesting point. Now, I might counter that with this. Steve, we know that the Bucs I think they led the league last year in percentage of blitzing per snap, and I think they were right near the top this year. Could I suggest that perhaps the main impetus behind that statistic is Todd Bowles is trying to protect what he thinks might be ordinary or maybe a little bit better than ordinary secondary by ramping up the pass rush? Could I argue that, Steve?
Well, Sage, you could argue a lot of things. I mean, it is how Todd Bowles runs his defense, and it matches the philosophy that Bruce Arians wants on defense. Now, that gets lost sometimes, but even when Todd Bowles left Arizona, his replacement there was blitz, blitz, blitz. That's what Arians believes in. But, yeah, you're not wrong, Ira. You could look at the Bucs not really being able to rush with a four-man rush effectively this year like they did last year. But my big question, and not one we're going to attack today, my big question is why can't this coaching staff coach up these young guys to be better on zone defense? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Most of them have been here for years. The coaches have been here. It's an established program. Why can't we be better in zone? That's a coaching question that I don't quite understand.
Now, when Dave Moore made that point, was he just talking about this year or was he talking about the past 2 years?
He was just talking about this year primarily. Okay. But he didn't say, you know, over time, but simply was saying that, hey, they're not good in zone, haven't been all year. We've seen way too much them getting carved up in zone all year long.
What bothered me more than the starting corners, one of the top three got hurt, got injured, got sick, whatever. That defense collapsed. And that tells me you got a flaw in your defense. You lose one guy and at one level of the defense and the defense has collapsed, that tells me you got a flaw somewhere. I don't know what that flaw is. I don't know if it's a technical flaw. I don't know if your reserves are that pathetic, which that might be. But there's a flaw somewhere. If one position, and it doesn't matter which one position at one level your defense goes out, it's like the dominoes fall. And that's a flaw somewhere. What that is, I don't know, but that shouldn't happen.
By the way, guys, speaking of that final pass to Cooper Kupp right down the middle, two things. One, the guy didn't even make a move. Lee, didn't make a move. You know, he's got a lot of great moves, this guy. He gets you off balance. He didn't do any of that. He put his head down and went down right down the middle. I saw somebody breaking film down. You guys might be able to help me on identify it. He was breaking that play down, and this guy was killing Mike Edwards, who kind of, ran across Cooper Kupp's face and went over to some guy maybe in the right flat.
Higbee. I think you're talking about. He went after Higbee.
Yeah, yeah. Did you guys see that breakdown? Who was that?
I think you're talking about Sapp's breakdown, because he was harsh on Edwards. He thought Edwards should have been with Kupp, not going after Higbee. But the problem with that is, if you look at it again, Higbee would have been, in Bruce Arians' words, wide-ass open.
You're right, Lee. You're right. Wide-ass open.
Well, Ira, speaking of wide-ass open, there's a lot of things still to be determined with the Bucs when it comes to Brady. And, of course, the Byron Leftwich decision is something we will certainly get into deeper on the next podcast. Maybe he'll still be here. Maybe he'll be in Jacksonville, and that'll be in limbo. But, Ira, I'm wrapping it up today. I know you want to roll early. We've got two more podcasts coming next week. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan is waiting. And Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And anytime you have any disaster in your home, flood, mold, fire, wind, whatever it is, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first phone call 24/7 for your free assessment. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Ira, do you have a piece of wisdom as Bucks fans watch these Sunday's games and cry that they're not there?
Well, that's the point, Steve. That's the point. Buck fans are going to look at these two games on Sunday, Lee, and they're going to say, we should have been there. We should have been there. Well, not quite, Lee. They weren't good enough. They were good. But to get to this point, you got to be better than good. They were beaten fair and square. But for anybody to suggest this Buck role is going to come crashing down, even if Tom Brady returns under center, that's a lot of nonsense. We're hoping that Brady comes back because we want to cover a winning, relevant team. Watch these games, guys. It's going to be hard-pressed to live up to last weekend. I think that's kind of impossible. But keep the faith, Buck people. You got a good roster. You got a good coaching staff. You're in good hands.